Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday afternoon. Welcome to the Habs 360 podcast here featuring allhabs.net. My name is Chris G. You can follow me on Twitter at ChrisG1980, and we'll be with you here for the next 60 minutes. It's the final day in the regular season in the NHL. All 30 teams in action today. And boy, is that great, because there's still a lot of playoff implications involved in both conferences, Eastern and Western. Some teams still fighting for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, and a lot of positioning matchups still remaining to be settled for the start of the playoffs, which will be on Wednesday, April 15th. Canadians facing the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern start, a game that could be seen coast to coast on CBC. And well, Canadians, Leafs, Saturday night, last game of the regular season. You can't ask anything more, but Bob Cole will be handling the play-by-play of that game tonight in Toronto TR Canada Centre. Some news and notes for that game. Canadians had an optional practice this morning, so the news that we do know, because the Canadians did release some information, well, we've known that Carey Price will be the starting goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens. And he'll be facing the Jonathan Bernier, from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Max Pacioretty, he won't be in the lineup tonight. He was in Brossard this morning, and in fact, he was on the ice. He skated alone this morning in Brossard for 30 minutes. So we'll talk about that later on today's episode. And another confirmed news is that Tom Gilbert, who participated in this morning's optional practice, will not be in a lineup. Craig Patterin will take his spot for a second consecutive game. So we're going to touch upon the game against the Toronto Maple Leafs later on today's episode. And, well, we won't give much airtime to the Toronto Maple Leafs, because honestly, with the season that they've had, they don't deserve it. In terms of games played by the Montreal Canadiens. It was a quiet week, only two games played, but boy, was there a lot of news surrounding those two games. And well, let's get it started. It started off when the Canadiens faced the Florida Panthers on Easter Sunday.
Well, a great chance for Florida there to take the lead. Subban after it now. He's on his own. Look for help. The Governor scores!
And that was the game-winning goal that was scored by Brendan Gallagher, his 24th of the season, to give the Montreal Canadiens a 4-1 win over the Florida Panthers. And in fact, that game was a 200th career win for Michel Therrien, and it was also his 400th game. Obviously, both those numbers are with the Montreal Canadiens only and does not include numbers with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And well, it was in this game that Canadiens forward, their top scorer, Max Pacioretty, was injured, but we're going to talk about that in just a couple of moments. The Canadiens, after that game, came back home, had a couple of days off, and faced the Detroit Red Wings on Thursday night.
But just as calm when playing the puck. Subban to the line, Marc Messier scores!
And that was Andrei Markov scoring his 10th goal of the season against the Detroit Red Wings. It was the sixth time in his career that he's reached the 10-goal plateau. Last time he did it was in 2012-2013. Canadiens, 4-3 winners in overtime over the Detroit Red Wings. And well, the Canadiens scored a tying goal on the power play. Canadiens were already 5-on-4. And then, well, there was a player who touched the puck, Brendan Smith from Detroit Red Wings. The puck was still in play. He stuck out his glove and he knocked it out of play. And well, in the beginning, there wasn't going to be a penalty called. But then P.K. Subban, he was insisting with the referees. The crowd at the Bell Center wasn't happy about it as well. And let's hear P.K. Subban on how that conversation went with the officials.
Saw that like I said, the puck wasn't in the bench yet, so I thought I'd make it a point to point it out to the referees. After about the fifth time of me telling them, look at the replay, they told me to shut up and they talk about it. So I kept my mouth shut then.
And while it's probably not the first and probably not the last time that somebody's going to tell P.K. Subban to shut up, but it paid off in this case because it did extend the Canadiens' power play, and that's how they ended up scoring the tying goal to push the game into overtime. So following those two games, Canadiens have played a total of 81 games this season. They have a record of 49-22-10, 108 points. That places them first place in the Atlantic Division. The Tampa Bay Lightning are 2 points behind them. Lightning as well are playing tonight. So first place is up for grabs because the Lightning do have the tiebreaker advantage over the Canadiens. So the Canadiens need to get at least 1 point against the Leafs to secure first place in the Atlantic Division. And in the conference, well, depending on tonight's outcome, the Canadiens will finish either second or third. Right now they are second behind the New York Rangers, who earlier this week clinched the President's Trophy. And, well, in the NHL, Canadiens are second place, only behind the New York Rangers. The Ducks are behind the Canadiens. If the Ducks win tonight, well, so there's a possibility the Canadiens actually finish second place overall in the NHL, so that's pretty impressive for the Montreal Canadiens. So in terms of the playoff implications, like I mentioned, the Canadiens would clinch Atlantic Division if they get at least 1 point against the Leafs tonight or if the Lightning lose to the Bruins in any fashion. So it's going to go all the way down to the wire. So our question of the day, Canadiens, they can face four teams in the round one of the playoffs. Could be against the Red Wings, the Senators, the Penguins, or the Bruins in the first round. So what is the most and least favorable matchup for the Montreal Canadiens? You can let us know on Twitter at Habs360 is the way to reach us. And you can also give us a toll-free call. The phone lines will be open for the entire episode today. 1-877-455-4945. And you can also go to our Blog Talk Radio chat room and leave us your comments. Joining me today, my co-host, Twitter handle is at Peter Galanos. Peter G, are you excited for tonight's last night in the NHL?
Well, definitely. I just can't wait to see where the Habs are going to finish in the standings and who their first-round opponent will be.
Yeah, we're looking forward. So we'll know that at the end of tonight's action in the NHL.
Well, Max met our doctor today with met Dr. Vincent Lacroix. He won't play the next two games. We'll be evaluated next week. It's a upper body injury. And we'll go from there regarding next week. Well, we know what we know exactly what is what he got, and there's we have to protect the players, and that's our most important thing for us. And there's things that we can't tell, so we're a week away from the playoff. And for us, there's a possibility that Max play next week, and we'll know more next week. But for us, safety of the players is very important, and it's a, like I said, it's an upper body injury, and we'll see for next week.
So that was Mitchell Therrien speaking before the game against the Detroit Red Wings. So Max Pacioretty is out for at least the last two games of regular season with an upper body injury. We don't know for a fact what the injury is. And he's played 165 consecutive games. That was the streak that got snapped when he missed a game against the Red Wings. And that includes playoffs games as well. And maybe, Peter, a couple of stats before we get your thoughts on this trade. This season, Pacioretty scored 37 goals out of 217, which means it's 17% of the Canadiens' goals. And he's been part of 31% of the Canadiens' goals. So that's 67 points out of 217. And even that, I'm including those 8 goals that the Canadiens scored without him. So it's, you could argue that it's actually a higher percentage than that. And he has 302 shots this season. He's third in the NHL behind Alexander Ovechkin and Nash from the New York Rangers. And in fact, 302 shots is the most shots in a season by a Canadiens player since Guy Lafleur. He got 323 shots in 1979-1980. So that's quite impressive as well. And Peter, what do you think this loss of Pacioretty means to the Montreal Canadiens?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, if he's not there, you know, I'm thinking long-term now, first round, second round, past the first round. I think the Canadiens are a good enough team to beat anybody in the first round without him, but second round and on, if Pacioretty's not there, the Canadiens are in big trouble and hopefully that he'll make his return before that.
Yeah, and it looks like if you watch the replay of what happened, I think it's pretty obvious that it was a concussion is what he suffered in the game against the Florida Panthers. But we did hear that, and it was confirmed by the Canadians, that Max Pacioretty did skate alone on the ice this morning in Brossard. So it's a huge loss. But at the same time, Peter, that was a balance that the Canadians have to take in terms of short-term and long-term needs. Like, do they push him to come back in the first round, or is some part of time and before they bring him in? Look at an example at Paranto, who missed a couple of games, came back, played one or two games, and then he left again. So it was because he came back too soon. So what do you think is that balance that the Canadians need to find?
They're not going to rush him back. He's the most important forward on this team, and they're not going to rush him back just for a series or two. I mean, for a game or two. I don't want to say that they're not taking these stuff seriously, but from the moves that I saw Bergevin pull at the trade line, he's not really pushing for a Stanley Cup run this season, this spring. And I think it's more, I think if I look at it from the organization's point of view, I think it's more important for Patch Ready long term to be okay. So I think they're just going to really take their time and make sure that he's 100% before he comes back.
Yeah, and I agree that that should be the approach that they should take with Patch Ready. But when I look at it, example to last season, he did find by the NHL because Dale Weiss didn't follow the concussion protocol. And well, Canadians rushed him back. So then I'm thinking, well, if they rush a third liner, fourth liner, they might rush the first liner, Max Pacioretty, coming back. But I do think that the way to do is to make sure Pacioretty is 100% before comeback. And the loss of Max Pacioretty is big for the Montreal Canadiens. And even in a couple of episodes, we were both Peter, we were looking past the first round for the Canadiens. We kept saying what happened with Pace, be Lightning, etc. I think the loss of Max Pacioretty, if he doesn't come back in the first round, out of the Canadiens winning in the first round, becomes a certain thing, like we were assuming that it was. It'll be something the Canadiens will have to fight a bit more to win.
It is an opportunity for other players to pick it up and Patch has got a really important role with us. Quality ice time, you know, not only offensively but defensively as well, getting penalties. He's there at the end of the game, even if we're leading by one goal. But you know what? We react the right way last game. We lost Patch early in the game, and the guys react the right way. We were capable to generate a scoring chance and ended up scoring four goals. So this is something that we got to make sure we're going to focus on and keep playing the same way that we're supposed to play, and there's going to be other guys going to have opportunity to show what they're capable to do.
And, well, we're there, the coach, Terry, talking about the team as a committee have to step up to replace Max Pacioretty. And just going back, we know that Max Pacioretty skated alone today in Brossard. Game number one should be either Wednesday or Thursday. We've heard rumblings that will probably be on Wednesday of next week. So there's still a couple of days left. And Peter, like, I know we were talking about what the Canadiens should do, and we've also known from the past that Max Pacioretty historically has recovered very quickly from injuries. Do you see any chance that Max Pacioretty plays in game one of the first round?
I do, because the Montreal Canadiens are being very quiet on this situation. We really don't know what's going on. Is it a concussion? Is it something else? We have no idea. Nobody's talking. Michel Therrien is not talking. Nobody's talking. Nobody sent an official message. All they've said is, in regards to Max Pacioretty, is that he's not going to play the last two games of the season, and that's it. So is he going to be in the lineup in game one and round one? I'd be not surprised at all, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if he is.
I wouldn't say I'm taking his spot. I think you know, the lines change a lot, and we're going to have to pick up the slack all together here. I don't think there's a guy in this room that can, you know, just replace him by himself. So it's everybody working together.
Well, you lose a guy like that. You know, he's our best skater. He's our you know, our top player. He scores a lot of goals for us. You know, you can't replace a guy like that. So we're going to have to find a way.
Of course, if you look at it that way, he scores 37 goals. I'm pretty sure that's... that's a lot, and I think that's why, like, then the 13 more than the second guys. But I mean, we're all trying to go out there, and we're trying to be more offensive and create chances. But there obviously is a big leader of the team, which leads us in goal and top scorer. And Pricey goes out there and stutters in the head, and everyone is a leader, and they just gotta play their best.
So we heard an order from Devante Smith-Pelly, from Dale Weiss, Alex Galchenyuk. That was prior to the game against the Detroit Red Wings. And I think we're all in agreement that there's not one player that could replace Max Pacioretty and what he brings to the team. And the most obvious contribution that he brings is the 37 goals that he scored so far this season. And while we won't talk to Peter about the fact that the Canadiens didn't acquire top six forward at trade deadline, which especially now probably would have been a little bit more helpful. And actually, Peter probably would have put in also less stress in trying to bring Pacioretty back right now for round one.
Definitely. I mean, who's going to score up front right now? I mean, okay, Gallagher might score a bit, Galchenyuk maybe, Plekanec, but, you know, past the first round, if you're facing the Tampa Bay Lightning in the second round, they're the top team in the NHL for in goals scored, so there's no way they're going to, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead. We're still looking at round one. But long-term, it's not looking good if Pacioretty's not in the lineup.
I don't think that's where your focus can be. I think we have to be focused on executing a game plan. I think it's part of sports. You're going to be without guys for parts of your season. And for us right now, it comes at a tough time. But at the same time, it's an opportunity for guys to step up and for guys to take on that responsibility that Max has had and done a very good job of every single game this season. No one's not going to be easy. It's going to be a challenge, but I think the guys in this room are up for that.
I don't think it's one certain person. I think it's everybody. It's as a collective group, stepping up and just making sure we could play a good team game. You're not trying to replace Patch. You're just trying to fill that void and do everybody do their part.
So that was Brendan Gallagher and Braden Prest as well speaking of the Canadiens have to step up as a committee to replace Max Pacioretty. And Peter, Peter asked a question, and well, we could pass that on to our listeners as well. Who do you think will do the scoring for the Montreal Canadiens now that Max Pacioretty is out? And you can also let us know about our question of the day, which is who are the most and least favorable opponents for the Montreal Canadiens in the first round? Is it the Red Wings? Is it the Senators, the Penguins, or the Boston Bruins? So we're going to talk about that later on in today's episode. But coming up next, what would the Canadiens' lines look like if we were the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens and tonight were game one of the playoffs? This is the Habs 360 podcast featured on allhabs.net.
I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or family. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The team at All Habs wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag #ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to showyourhabs.com to see your entry, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, search Habs 360 on allhabs.net or on iTunes for the archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs-related. That's allhabs.net.
Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. It's something any fan can support. RSM has proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundation, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project, or have a worthy fundraising initiative you'd like us to be part of, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
He's traveling with us today. He's going to meet the doctor, and we'll go from there.
He must have seen a doctor already, though. He must have.
No, I haven't seen her doctor yet.
You haven't seen a doctor here?
Her doctor here, yes, but not her doctor.
Okay. You expecting a different diagnosis from your doctor than the one here?
Well, you know what? I communicate with my doctor. I don't communicate with other doctors. Okay.
All right, welcome back. I'm Chris G at Chris G1980, along with Peter at Peter Galanos, and I think that was quite an entertaining exchange between Michel Therrien and Pat Hickey of the Montreal Gazette, and it's not the first time these guys have this sort of relationship when it comes back and forth. And even if you actually listen to that press conference later on, Michel Therrien tells Pat Hickey that, I know you're concerned about the power play. And Pat Hickey's talking to him, is like, no, like, I'm doing it for you guys. And but it's fun. It's entertaining between these two gentlemen. But I got to give credit to Pat Hickey. What Michel Therrien was saying didn't make sense, that Patretti hadn't seen the doctor after 2 days. And I think it was a great job by Pat Hickey on pushing him a little bit more to get some more information from the head coach. So the Canadiens tonight facing the Toronto Maple Leafs, 7 o'clock start on CBC. So let's take a look at the current forward lines of the Montreal Canadiens. Tonight will be a line of Galchenyuk, Plekanec, and Gallagher. Pierre Parenteau will play with David Dernais and Devante Smith-Pelly on line two. The third line will be Jacob Delarose with Lars Zeller and Dale Weiss. And the fourth line is Brandon Prest with Tory Mitchell and Brian Flynn. I confuse the two newbies. I'm still getting to know them, but by the time I get to know them, they'll probably be with a new team next season. So if the Canadiens started game one of the playoffs tonight, and assuming that Max Pacioretty wouldn't be in the lineup, if I look at the lineups, and the one change that I would make, actually there's a couple changes I would make. Don't laugh at me, Peter, but I'd bring up Dale Weiss in the first line. I'd play him with Galchenyuk and Thomas Plekanec. Then I'd bump Gallagher to the second line with Dernais and Parenteau. And then I'd bump down Devante Smith-Pelly from the second line down to the fourth line. And then Brandon Prest would be in the third line with Jacob Delarose and Lars Zeller. And just another note that I want to add is I know that Galchenyuk, he's the Canadiens' future number one center, but I don't think game one of the playoffs would be the time now to move him. I don't think the Canadiens are in such a desperate situation where they need to try different things. So for that reason, I'm just leaving him on the left wing. But I agree that probably even as of next season, from game one, he should be the Canadiens' centerman. So Peter, on your end, like, how do you like the coach's current lines?
Well, I think I don't know if that's going to be really the starting lineup in game one of the first round. My concern a bit is Manny Malhotra. I mean, he's a pretty important face-off player for the Montreal Canadiens, and I think that in the playoffs you need, you know, without necessarily playing him 15-20 minutes a game, I mean, just to have him as a specialist, I think these are the kind of guys that have key roles in a game, that unsung heroes that nobody pays too much attention to, that you can use and have as key face-off to win key face-offs, and to have them there. And I'm surprised that unless they're resting him, but I don't know what the rule will be for Malhotra if he is going to be considered as a starter in the first round.
He's been resting for most of the second half of the season, and I was debating when I was looking at these lines between Flynn and Malhotra. The reason why I decided to leave Malhotra out is for a couple of reasons. The last couple of games, Mitchell and Flynn together on the fourth line have been playing well together. They've gotten some good scoring opportunities. And in regards to the faceoff circle, I'm looking at Mitchell, and since he's been with the Montreal Canadiens, his faceoff percentage is, I'll tell you that in a second, it's 56.6%. And Manny Malhotra's is at 59.3%. So I consider those pretty similar. And Mitchell, at least in the last couple of games, has shown that he could bring a lot more offensive than Manny Malhotra. And that's what sort of made me decide to go on the side of leaving Manny Malhotra out and leaving Brian Flynn in. But that being said, I think Flynn and Malhotra would be two guys that will probably be alternating in and out depending on how things go during the series.
Kempe runs into Beaulieu, knocked him down, but the Canadians keep the puck in. Raymond Peary sending it around to Mitchell. P.A. Patico strips it. Kismet Kelly scores!
It's good to get that one. Like I was saying before, I'm not really too focused about goals, assists, and stuff like that, but anytime you can contribute, it's fun.
I want to try that experience. I like the way that he played in Jersey. I thought he was moving his feet a lot quicker, and he was involved in the play, and that's why I tried his experience, and I was really pleased.
And we heard there Devo's first goal with the Montreal Canadiens against the Florida Panthers, and we also heard the coach, Michel Therrien, speaking about last Sunday, like in the game against the Florida Panthers, Devante Smith-Pelly, who started off the game playing in the first line with Max Pacioretty and Thomas Plekanec, and since then he's been on the line with Pierre Parato and David Dagnes, so he's getting top 6 minutes. And I know, Peter, that you've had concerns with Devante Smith-Pelly, and what are your thoughts on the coach giving him a shot on a top line? And as well, since Pacioretty has been injured, he's been getting time on the power play as well and in the penalty kills.
No, I think it's a good thing. I mean, they need him to get his confidence going as we near the playoffs. I mean, with one game left, and I believe before that last game, he only has 2 points since with the Habs. Is that possible? I think he's played almost 20 games now, and it's not that we were expecting him to be an offensive threat, but I think on a good third line, he could get that goal sometimes that could get the difference and in a close hockey game. So, and the fact that he played with Desharnais and Parenteau, I think it's a good thing, you know. But I think it'll help his confidence.
It's a one goal, one assist in 19 games for Devante Smith-Pelly. And what I like, last two games, Canadians are assured of a playoff spot, so a home ice advantage for at least the first round. I think it's the time the Canadians to do some experimenting, especially on the power play, where it's been a bust the entire season. Give it a try. And the role that Smith-Pelly has had on the power play is go in front of the goalie, cause a screen, which they have Gallagher doing it on the first unit. So, and I think Devante Smith-Pelly in that kind of role, he has at least the physique to do a better job than Brendan Gallagher for that role.
Petrie trying to chip it away at the side of the net, cleared around, and Lars Eller is after it. Eller takes it for a skate, got it to center. Eller into the Red Wing zone. Petrie going to the net. Goal!
Yeah. Yeah, he competes. He competes a lot more. I'll say the last few games, and he's got some chances. He's dependable both sides of the ice. It was a well-deserved goal, you know, and even it was probably a bad break for Detroit, but you know it was getting hurt in neutral zone, and he certainly deserved to score that goal. But Lars, it seems that this time of year, this is where he's at his best. And we all remember him in the playoff last year. He was one of the good players that we got, one of the reasons why we got such good playoffs. And it's nice to see that he's playing with that same confidence. And the number one thing for him, you know he's got to compete, and this is what he's doing right now.
So we heard there Lars Eller scoring the overtime winner against the Detroit Red Wings on Thursday night. And the coach with his post-game press conference speaking about Lars Eller. And Lars Eller, I think since the trade deadline, has probably been the best forward of the Montreal Canadiens. Naturally, probably behind Max Pacioretty, has been consistent. So I'm not sure if leading up to trade deadline, maybe he had being traded on his mind. And then once that was out of the way, he was able to focus going back into hockey. And I think it's getting hot right in time for the playoffs. And hopefully we'll see the same Lars Eller that Canadiens had last year during the postseason. And I think it'll be even more critical now that we're talking about a Max Pacioretty injury. He's one of the players that definitely needs to keep playing like he is and maybe even contribute a little bit more on when it comes into scoring. And but he's not the only one. I think players like Alex Galchenyuk as well needs to start producing a little more than he has to. And we saw Pierre Parrot, he's getting a lot of chances in the last couple of games, so he needs to keep that going on heading into round one of the playoffs.
I'm very, very proud of it, obviously, and I got to thank my teammates for the way they've played all season long. This isn't possible without those guys in front of me.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal, and we're really privileged to be part of that. And this is an exceptional person, first of all, great leader, and it's well-deserved. And you could see the reaction from the players. Everyone's who's involved in this hockey team, and I know all our fans too. You know, we were excited about that record. You know, it's phenomenal.
So our Thursday night, Carey Price sets a new single season record for the Montreal Canadiens by collecting his 43rd win of the season. He beats a record that was established twice by Jacques Plante and Ken Dryden. And Peter, there's been discussion whether or not the 43 wins right now is easier to get because of the shootouts where there's no more ties, where back in the days they did. And do you think it should be a little asterisk next to his accomplishment this year?
It's a different kind of era, and it's a different era. And like you said, you know, back in the day, in Ken Dryden's era, I think they did have overtime. But you said Jacques Plante, too. I think in his era, maybe they didn't even have overtime. We'd have to check that and see, you know. So when the game would end in a tie, it would just end in a tie, no overtime. So does it deserve an asterisk? I think it does. I mean, personally, I believe that he hasn't officially broken the record, but you know, that's a question of statistics, and I don't know, we'll see.
Even 43 wins, even in our year, I think it's impressive, because not many goalies can get 43 wins in when it comes to an 82-game schedule. And I understand the point of view where, you know, people might want to put an asterisk besides his accomplishments from this season. But 43 wins, it's 43 wins. It's like different era, but doesn't matter. It's still impressive. I think people should be less focused on whether or not this deserves an asterisk and just focus on the great season that that Carey Price is having for the Montreal Canadiens.
I certainly believe he deserved the heart. He's the, as far as I'm concerned, he's the best player in the league right now. He's the player who's got the most impact on games. So, as far as I'm concerned, even if there's a lot of good players in this league and got good, some good season, but Carey Price deserved that trophy.
So there's a vote of confidence from Michel Therrien for Carey Price to get the Hart Trophy. And Peter, there was also a poll earlier this week that Bob McKenzie published on TSN.ca, where he polled 20 coaches. And just to explain the context, he asked them between Ovechkin and Carey Price. So I'm assuming those are the two players that Bob McKenzie is debating whether who to vote for, number one. Who's your Hart Trophy, Carey Price or Ovechkin? And 20 out of 20, it was a unanimous decision in the favor of Carey Price. And I don't know if you agree with me, Peter. I think this pretty much confirms that if the coaches are thinking this way, it's pretty sure that Carey Price will probably end up being the winner of the Hart Trophy.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he doesn't win it. I mean, with the season that he's had, not just for the wins, but even leader in goals against average, leader in save percentage, co-leader in shutouts. I mean, this is like a dream season and a dominating season on his behalf. And I don't see how he doesn't win the trophy this year.
Yeah, and it's a shame for somebody like Alex Ovechkin, who scored over 50 goals. If he does it, that he might not get recognized when it comes to the Hart Trophy, but he'll get recognized via other awards.
I think it's also the perfect year for Carey Price to win it because if you look at the scoring leaders in general, I mean, it's been a pretty low scoring season amongst the leading scorers. I mean, and I think this just turns out to be perfect season for a goaltender to win the trophy.
And speaking of honors for Carey Price, well, Carey Price is the Montreal Canadiens' most in cup player of the year for 2014-2015 season. He earned the honor for fifth consecutive season. So ever since 2010-2011, he has been the winner. And in fact, this season, he was the Canadiens Player of the Month for every segment of the season. He finished ahead of Max Pacioretty, Thomas Plekanec, Brendan Gallagher, and David Dernier. Those were your top five in that race. So no surprise that if we're talking about Carey Price and the Hart Trophy, that he is the player of the team for the season. So we're going to take a break here on Habs 360. But before that, Peter, why don't you tell us about our contest that we have with Framework Sports Marketing?
Yeah, well, the Habs 360 podcast is excited to provide a Habs fan with an opportunity to win an 8x10 autographed picture of Brendan Gallagher, and it's courtesy of Framework Sports Marketing. Framework is the largest distributor of autographed NHL memorabilia in the world and one of the largest distributors of sports memorabilia in North America. Here's how to enter. You got to follow Habs360 on Twitter. And prior to the next Canadiens road game, which is the final one of the season against Toronto tonight, all you have to do is tweet Habs360, your guess of the final score, and name of the first Canadiens goal scorer. And if you guess them correctly, you win. It's as simple as that to enter the contest. And in case of multiple correct guesses, a tiebreaker will be determined from all the winners. For more information on Framework Sports Marketing, visit their website, framework.com.
So, and in fact, there will be a winner tonight, regardless of the score. So if there's no entries with the correct score and the first half score, the tiebreaker will be, well, it will go to anybody who has the correct score without the first goal scorer. And if nobody has that as well, whoever picked the correct team in winning will be a random draw amongst them. So there will be a winner tonight. So start tweeting us the score and the first goal scorer right now. At Habs360 is the Twitter account to do that. So on the other side of the break, we're going to look ahead to tonight's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're going to preview round one of the Canadiens playoffs and who do we want to be the Canadiens opponent. And we'll be reading your tweets and we'll be taking your phone calls at 1-877-455-4945. This is the Habs360 podcast featured on allhabs.net.
Want the latest Habs news with game reviews, and highlights? How about full coverage of development camps and special events? Looking to follow the Hamilton Bulldogs more closely this season? Perhaps you'd like to learn more about team prospects. Would you like a place to socialize with hockey fans all over the world? We've got everything you're looking for at allhabs.net, the place where you'll find everything you need to be the most informed and connected Habs fan around. allhabs.net.
Hi, I'm Chris G. The Habs 360 podcast and Anthony from r2canvas.com are pleased to announce the return of the Habs contest this season. The contest will run during every Habs home game in the regular season and will give you the opportunity to win a great prize courtesy of r2canvas.com. Listen to the Habs 360 podcast and follow Habs 360 and Habs Happy on Twitter for more details. And for high quality canvas art at a reasonable price, visit r2canvas.com. Good luck.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. We are specifically interested in individuals who have education and or experience in the following areas: sports writing, translation, editing, forum administration, social media administration, multimedia, graphic design, web development and user support, event planning, and sponsorship and marketing. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, visit allhabs.net and click the Join Our Team tab today.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Like we always said, we're going to try to finish as in the best position in the standing, and but there's a fine line with we keep their energy and carry. This is going to be his third game, I believe, in 9 days, so it's not demanding as much as back-to-back. So we're going to have 4 days between the last game, and then we're going to start the playoff. We take everything in consideration, and and there's a purpose about playing tomorrow in Toronto, so that's a decision.
Behind closed doors, he's a funny guy. You know, when it comes down to playing, you know, he doesn't say a lot, but when he does, guys take it pretty serious. You know, he's a pretty vocal leader for us when we need him to be, and he's been everything for us.
All right, welcome back. I'm Chris G at Chris G1980 along with Peter. And, well, we heard the coaches' decision and why they made the decision of starting Carey Price tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs, a game that starts at 7 o'clock. What about you, Peter? Are you surprised that the coach is going with his number one goalie for tonight?
Yes and no. I think that my thought was not to play Carey Price and to end the season with Tokarski, but I think it is so important to win that first place spot in the division, especially when that second round is going to come along. It guarantees you to have home ice advantage against whoever the opponent would be. And when you look at a team like Tampa Bay, who has been unbelievable this season at home with a great record.
It's a 31-8-1.
There you go. I mean, they are a very tough team to beat at home. So if they were to face Tampa Bay in the second round, I think that they prefer to have home ice advantage. And I think for that, I think that I agree with the decision.
Yeah, and it's for sure. I think that's what the Canadians... That's why the Canadians made that decision to go for first place, because of Tampa Bay Lightning, where the coach keeps saying the mentality, we're just taking one game at a time. But I think for this decision, they already looked ahead for round two matchup. And Canadians, we know they've struggled with Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay Lightning for the entire season. So any advantage that they could take from them, they're going to do it. So they're going all out. They're not resting any of their players. It's the same lineup going in. Just Tom Gilbert, who is out day to day with an upper body injury, and Craig Patterson is in the lineup. At the same time, I'm just saying to myself, can't the Canadians beat the Toronto Maple Leafs with Dustin Tokarski? And, well, I think the coach has answered that question, that he doesn't have much confidence left in his goaltender. And... because the Leafs, we know about them. They've had a very bad season. It's probably a season to forget for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we know how the season has gone for them. Lots of drama on the ice, lots of drama off the ice. And what a way to finish a season. They have called up Colton Lohr from the Toronto Marlies, who's played only 14 games. They're bringing him back to play one game. And what they say will be to thank him for his services. So let's be honest, what kind of services has Colton Lohr provided to anybody in the NHL? He's played 476 games, 12 goals, 12 assists, and almost 1,200 penalty minutes. So you know what's that worth to me? I think they should call him out, roll out the carpet before the game, and give him a $100 gift card to Tim Hortons. Like, I think that's what he deserves, and nothing more than that. You don't need to play in a game like this. The Leafs didn't call him up to score a goal. He's the type of player to have success. He has to get those penalty minutes. He's the type of player that has to bug other players. And honestly, when a team like the Leafs have no chance of making it to the playoffs, in the last game against a team that is fighting for it to go deep in the playoffs, I don't think it's a classy move by the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think they could have done something better to, honor Colton Lohr. But I guess that's a whole different story. We won't talk about the Leafs anymore because I guess they're not worth the airtime that we have here on the Habs 360. So the Canadians have four possible first-round matchups. Could be either the most probable matchups would be either the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Ottawa Senators, but they could also face the Detroit Red Wings or the Boston Bruins. The funny thing is, against the Penguins and the Senators, Canadians have a losing record against them. They're 1-2 against the Penguins this year, and they're 1-3 against the Ottawa Senators. But two out of the four games against the Ottawa Senators, Dustin Tokarski played in goal, so I'm not going to count those. So we'll say Canadians have a 500 record. Against the Detroit Red Wings and the Boston Bruins, Canadians are combined 8-0, so they're undefeated against those teams. But to face those teams, Canadians will probably have to finish second. So that means not winning tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think that would be a bad way for the Canadians to finish the season if they lose the Toronto Maple Leafs after a season that they've had. So, Peter, if you look at these four teams, which is the one or two teams that you think are maybe the most favorable when it comes to the Montreal Canadiens?
I think as long as they could avoid Ottawa in the first round, any team I think that Canadiens can take in the first round. Pittsburgh just confirmed that Christopher Letang is done for the season and the playoffs, so they're pretty banged up on the blue line, and I think the Canadiens can take Pittsburgh no problem. Boston is the same thing as well. I think the Canadiens have their number. I think Detroit also, as well as we saw this week. I mean, Detroit could put up a good fight, but in the end, Canadians have the advantage in goal with Carey Price, and they could take on Detroit easily. The only team that really scares me is Ottawa. They have been on fire. They have been playing some great hockey, and they have the Canadiens' number, and I think that's just not a favorable matchup in the first round for the Canadiens.
But what do you think, I don't know, like, scares you, I guess, about the Ottawa Senators? They have a hot goalie right now, Andrew Hammond, and they've been playing great since they fired the coach. But I just think that the Ottawa Senators have been playing hot for too long of a time, and I think coming into the postseason that it's going to be an emotional letdown for them, and I don't think they'll be as pumped up heading into Game 1.
It could go either way. They could either, like you say, they've been playing playoff hockey for the past month and a half, pretty much, and they might just have no more gas left in the tank, but they just don't seem to stop. And I mean, as we're speaking right now, they just scored a third goal to take the 3-1 lead against the Flyers, and there's under 8 minutes left in that game. So, Chris, I looked at the standings. If Ottawa wins, they're going to bump Detroit down to the wild card spot, and Ottawa's going to move to third place in the division. So there's a chance that Ottawa faces Tampa Bay in the first round as well, you know, or if Montreal falls in second, you know, there's two ways they can meet Ottawa. And for me, I think that Ottawa's just too dangerous, and they're a must avoid in the first round.
And on Twitter, Giselle, Jean-Doran agrees with you. For her, it's the Ottawa Senators is the team to avoid. The Detroit Red Wings are playing the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. So technically, it should be an easy win for the Red Wings to secure them into the number three spot. And a team, if I have to choose one team that I think is the least favorable for the Montreal Canadiens, it's probably the Boston Bruins. I know that they've had a bad season, and I know the Canadiens have beat them all four games this year, and I know that Peter Chiarelli came out yesterday and gave a speech like the team is out of the playoffs. But I think the Bruins, they're always going to step up when they face the Montreal Canadiens, and for once, Boston Bruins will not be the favorites going into that series. And it's something about the Boston Bruins, that rivalry, and I think that the Bruins will be the most difficult team to face in the first round. And in terms of the most favorable, I think I agree with you, Peter. I think Pittsburgh Penguins are just there waiting to be taken. And I would say the Detroit Red Wings. If I had to choose two teams, those are the two teams that I think Canadiens would have an easier time advancing.
But you see, Boston, I believe they're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're facing Tampa Bay tonight in Tampa Bay. The odds are really against them. Tampa Bay is going to go all out. They really want to finish in first place. And as long as that first place is available for Tampa, they're going to go out, and they're not going to let Boston roll all over them. And I think, you know, I don't even think Boston will make the playoffs.
So you're right. Here's what has to happen for the Bruins to clinch a playoff berth. So they have to defeat the Lightning. It doesn't matter if it's regulation or in overtime. And either the Senators or Penguins lose in regulation. So you scratch out the Senators. I don't think that's happening. And if the Bruins beat the Lightning in regulation or overtime, they would qualify with either a Senators regulation loss or a Penguins loss in any fashion. So,
and the Penguins are facing the Buffalo Sabres tonight, which is
but you never know, the Sabres have clinched 30th spot, so they might actually try to win this game tonight just to finish on a high note, that they're going to get a good draft pick, and they finished off on a high note. So never say never. And we know the Pittsburgh Penguins, they've the whole second half of the season they've struggled, so I don't see it impossible that they lose tonight against the Buffalo Sabres. We have one tweet that came in from Tony, and we know Tony, if you follow him on Twitter, he's a big fan of Therrien, being sarcastic, and he sends us, can Therrien win with Flynn, Mitchell, and Boyer? I think Malhotra, Gonchar, and Weaver would be better. So Peter Tony seems like he's preferring having more veteran presence instead of the youngsters. What do you think? Do you think like the experience that Gonchar and Malhotra could bring would be beneficial to the Canadiens in the playoffs?
Wow, that's an interesting question. Well, I definitely prefer Malhotra in the lineup than not in the lineup. I think that the fact that he's the best face-off guy on the team, I think it was is a very big asset on this team. As for Gonchar, I'm not sure. I think I prefer, you know, I don't think every game, maybe as an occasional, I'm not sure about Gonchar really. I from what I've seen in the past, even when he was in his prime, he's never been a big playoff performer. And I think in a 7-game series when the other teams can focus on him and they can take him off his game, and, you know, the guy's like almost 40 years old, and the speed is no longer a factor in his game. And I think that opposing teams know that. And I don't think he'd be that helpful for the Canadiens.
What about if, like, tonight, where Tom Gilbert is not playing, would you be confident with a pairing of Beaulieu and Patrin over having somebody like maybe Gonchar placing one of those two defensemen?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think I'd prefer Beaulieu or Patrin as a duo.
Yeah, and Patrin has been playing great since he's been a physical presence. It's probably a topic we'll do in a future episode, but I think Craig Patrin has played himself excellent, and he's becoming a cheaper version of Alexi Emlyn in the game that that he brings. So thank you very much for the tweets, Tony. And well, even though after the podcast is over, you can keep sending us your tweets at Habs360. We do love to interact with our listeners. Canadiens playing their final game in the regular season is tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs, the 7:00 start. A game that you can see coast to coast on CBC. And well, it looks like the Ottawa Senators have won against the Flyers.
Well, the game's not officially over yet. There's still a few minutes left, but they're clearly headed for a victory.
So that means, if our math is correct, that the Canadiens will face either the Detroit Red Wings or the Ottawa Senators coming up in the first round. So based on your comments before, Peter, you're probably cheering for a Canadiens-Red Wings matchup.
Definitely. I think that would be the best situation.
Yeah, and I agree as well. So, well, let's take a minute here, Peter, and let's make our predictions for the series only for those two matchups. And let's go if it was the Canadiens against Detroit Red Wings series. I would go with the Canadiens probably winning 5 or 6 games in that series.
Against Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I put myself down for 5, I think.
Okay, so then just to be a different prediction, I'll say 6 for the Montreal Canadiens, because no Max Pacioretty maybe for game 1, so they might lose one of those two games. And against the Ottawa Senators, I'll go Canadiens in 7. It's going to go all the way down to the wire.
I'm going to go with 2 predictions here. I'm going to say that with Pacioretty, Habs win the series. Without Pacioretty, Ottawa wins.
Okay, was that with Pacioretty in game number 1?
I'm talking about with no Pacioretty in the entire series.
Okay.
If Pacioretty plays at least 1 game in this series, the Canadiens will win.
Short series or long series?
It's going to go 6 or 7 for sure.
And if no Pacioretty?
If no Pacioretty, it's still going to go 6 or 7, but it's going to go in Ottawa's favor.
So we'll see how that goes. Definitely next week here on the Habs 360, we'll definitely cover whether it be one or two games into the series the Canadians play, should get underway Wednesday from what we heard. But, you know, you need to check NHL.com starting on Sunday afternoon to have the official schedule. Peter G., thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Chris. Can't wait for the start of the playoffs.
It's coming up in a couple of days. I want to thank everybody for listening to Habs 360. My name is Chris G. at ChrisG1980. Next week, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll be back and we'll be talking Montreal Canadiens playoff hockey. So enjoy the first couple of games and join us next week.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.